Welcome back to the show. For John Matowski, he was living in a perfect suburb of Los Angeles. After moving in, John would claim to hear noises around his house. Strange, unexplained noises. Things took an unexpected turn when a friend of Mr. Matowski, John Huckert, acquired an old Polaroid camera. Taking snapshots around the house, they both soon started seeing anomalies in these instant photos. At first, it came off as an odd spectral image, but soon they became words. And odd as it may seem, whatever was in the house had found a way to communicate. Joining us this evening, author and researcher Joe Augustin is discussing how this unusual case has been spotlighted in international articles, shows like Sightings and Fact or Fake, the Paranormal Files, and that this case continues to baffle experts around the world. It is a controversial case. Many different theories abound on how this is a hoax, how it's been faked. When we come back, Bill Murphy, the researcher and investigator from Fact or Fake, the Paranormal Files on TV's Sci-Fi channel, he's going to talk to us about his two experiments in the house, trying to debunk this paranormal myth. Could he prove that this was nothing more than a hoax, or did he leave with more questions than he came in with? That's coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. Online with us right now, we have Joe Augustin. He's a researcher and author, and we're talking about a case that he's putting into a new book, Ghost Writer. It'll be coming out later. And talking about this case, we'll be joined by Bill Murphy from Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Faked in a few moments. I'm just curious, Joe, with all the activity that they had in this house and continue to have to this day, was there ever a time when they felt frightened or in danger because of the activity going on?
I know that John Matowski, I know, was frightened at a certain point, because when I first started to tell him about some of the things that happened to me when I stayed there early on, he turned pale, and I could just tell that it bothered him, and that he sort of was talking to me and trying to get, I think he was quite subtly trying to get information about whether I had experienced anything and whether he was just imagining things or what, and that was sort of, you know, early on, I could tell that he was frightened by what was happening. And can I quickly just say that I finished the book this today, actually, and have a Kindle version up on Amazon right now. It's 171 pages with at least 3 dozen photographs of the, you know, 3 dozen of the Polaroids. And if people want other information about, they can go to seeingthings.com or wildcatpress.net, and they'll have information about the book. But it's there are tons of stories in the book Ghostwriter, the Polaroid Ghost, and other paranormal tales.
All right, we'll add that on if we can to the Coast to Coast AM website so that you can find it there. And seeingthings.com is another way to go find information about the book and its release. Correct?
Yeah. Well, that's another book that is only it has the Polaroids, basically, maybe I think about 60 of them. And the Ghostwriter book has stories, tons of stories, and about half of the book is about the house, basically, the Polaroid Ghost. But there are I picked like 3 dozen of the most dramatic and interesting photographs, basically. And it's an incredible case. I mean, people read it. I hate gullible people as much as I hate skeptics, basically. I'm very much into, I mean, my idols, and I love Nandor Fodor as an investigator. He was a psychologist. He was very, you know, down to earth. People who are balanced and don't just buy things, you know,
right,
they're told them that, or, you know, see ghosts. And it's like people who see, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary and a piece of toast, that people that are, it bothers me. A lot of the shows on television where, you know, they're kind of hokey and overdone, I think they do a disservice to the whole paranormal field, basically. I don't take this stuff lightly, and the skeptics also really stick in my craw. I mean,
understandable. Well, that plays nicely into the introduction. Joining us online right now, one of the investigators and researchers from Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake, The Paranormal Files. Bill Murphy, a longtime friend, is joining us right now. Bill, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here this evening.
Hey, Dave, it's good to be here, and it's nice to hear Joe as well.
Hey, Bill.
Now, Bill, let me ask you about this. We've been friends for 8-9 years here, and I remember you bringing this story to me a number of years ago, talking about this. How did you get introduced to the Ghost Rider case?
Well, I first heard of it when it was being aired on Sightings, and actually, I read about it before it was aired. So it's a case that I've pursued for, over 20 years at this point, and it's one that has always intrigued me. It had a huge body of evidence, and I feel very privileged to be able to have gained their trust and explore this case much more fully than I would have been able to otherwise.
Well, let me ask you, you've worked in the film industry for years. You know the ins and outs of cameras. You understand how photography works. And you and I have both seen our fair share of photographic hoaxes. And certainly now, with as progressive as all of the software has gotten, people can create movie quality special effects in their home, on their home computer, that blow away things that appeared in movies 20, 30 years ago. From Ghostbusters, you can whip up things at home much easier now in still photography and in video photography. Were you pretty skeptical of the images when you first saw them? Because, as I mentioned earlier in the show, they create almost this three-dimensional look to them, which is eerie in itself, but it is so amazing that it looks too good to be true.
That was my first reaction too, Dave, when I started looking at some of the prints, the reproductions of the original Polaroids. But keeping in mind that this is a chemical process to create an instantly developing Polaroid photograph, it's not like you even have the opportunity for digital manipulation that you do now with video or still photos. So this predates what is easily able to be achieved nowadays if you want to create an image. So, basically, if you open the iris on the camera, you open the aperture and light comes in, that's what's going to form the image. But these photographs don't adhere to that. It's not like you see what it is. So there's no reflecting light, so to speak, that's coming in and striking the emulsion. So it presented a challenge. It had some credibility just in the way that they were being created, but I still had to do diligence and see if it could be reproduced through other means, and I tried.
Now, I know that there's been some shows, including, I believe, the Masked Magician, who came out and was able to reproduce strange Polaroids with writing on them, and it was by simply placing a clear screen inside the Polaroid camera that already was preset. So it was changing the emulsion of the camera. Was actually kind of burning the image into the loaded Polaroid film. So there was some speculation that maybe that's what was being done, that there were clear sheaths of plastic that had been fed into the Polaroid camera prior to the loading of the film itself. Now, was that something that you had investigated as well? And what did you find doing that type of investigation?
We did try that. It's almost like creating a stencil, and you pre-expose a part of the emulsion that you want to be blown out, so it appears to be white, and so that's where the writing, where you would want the writing to appear or an image to appear. You pre-expose that, and then when you expose the entire film, then you get the rest of the image captured. But when we tried to do it, and we did it in a dark room, in a light-tight room, even with a very tight stencil and doing everything light tight, it still ended up having a slight exposure of all of the emulsion, and it changed the tint. It made everything have this red tint to it, so it shifted it. And we had, kind of close to being successful at it, like, okay, maybe this is one alternate explanation, even though the residents of the home really didn't have an incentive to do this, because they're the first to admit it's never been something they've been able to profit from. So it's not like it's a lucrative endeavor to be able to obtain these photographs. However, with that being said, we tried it. We used the method that you just mentioned and that I fully described, it didn't work. Especially once we got into the house, it didn't work. So it sort of discounts that theory. And it's also very time consuming. And those cameras, you know, you put 10 sheets in a cartridge or 10 photos unexposed in a cartridge, there's really no room for anything else in there. So I can't agree that that is the method that could result in a realistic version of a Ghost Rider image.
All right. And we are going to open up phone lines with questions for our guests in the next half an hour. I want to try to get through this with Bill and talk about the experiments as time's going to slip away from us quickly here. You went with the TV series Factor Faked to go in and reexamine this case. Tell us about what parameters you put in place, how you scientifically try to do this investigation, and what were your findings in front of a live camera and the rest of your investigative team?
Well, when we try to manipulate the film using the method we already described, that's actually that was the second test we did, because the first test is one that is often put forward by skeptics on the internet, and that's one of the things we wanted to try. It's like, okay, this is what the public is saying. Let's put it to the test what people are saying is done, and that was a giant sheet of plexiglass, and I used a white marker that was just sort of this, you know, water-based ink on it, and I would write the messages on there, and I would take a Polaroid, and they would film me with video cameras on the other side and see if we could replicate not only the still photos, but the entire process that's been documented on videotape back in 1992, or the mid-90s, when John Huckert took a picture and held it up in a videotape room. So the plexiglass result was laughable. As a matter of fact, one of the residents in the house, he walked in and he looked at it and he goes, yeah, that's what we do here all the time. I mean, you know, the plexiglass was actually taking up the entire room, cutting the house in half. So skip that. It didn't work. It also reflected light from coming in the window. You could see it was plexiglass. The next test was the one that we just covered, trying to manipulate the film itself. When we went into the house, to directly answer your question, Dave, and we tried doing it in the house, we tried to do some control shots as well. And on one of the shots, and it's one of the ones posted on the Coast to Coast website, it looks like two profiles of two figures facing each other, for lack of a better description of what it could be. And it caught us really off guard. The exclamation and the gasp was audible. Some of that was actually aired. It wasn't necessarily overly emphasized because it was the entire experiment was a failure, but we got that photo that looks just like the early Ghost Rider photos, two different ones. And the ones where we tried to manipulate the film were fails. Some of them were kind of close, but overall, they were fails for the reasons I mentioned.
Now, Bill, there's a very distinctive look to the writing on the original Polaroids. And then when you got the actual results back and you started getting the writing, it did appear that it was the same kind of scrawl. Is that correct?
Yes, but that was separate from what we did on the television show. We went back, it was Halloween 2012, so it was like the 20th anniversary of when all this began in 1992. And they were having the Halloween parties like Joe mentioned earlier, and we wanted to see if we could sort of, you know, recapture that feeling, that mood, and more importantly, the chemistry of everybody there who wanted to have fun and see if something was going to happen. So we didn't want to set expectations unreasonably high, but we went about what we're doing with a certain degree of seriousness while just, you know, keeping the mood a bit light. And we started asking a series of questions, and to everyone's huge surprise, we got ghost writing, and it looks like the same writing. Now, this is film, Dave, that I bought myself on eBay. And from local film houses here in Los Angeles. I didn't tell people. I didn't put it on, you know, go say, will this capture ghostwriting? I mean, this is just sealed packs of Polaroid film. I put it all in the bag. I zipped it shut. I had it sealed. I went in that weekend, and I let people open up whatever Polaroid packs they wanted to, load it in whatever Polaroid camera either they had one, and I had one that I've owned since it's like the early 80s, late 70s. I brought that. There were several of them around. I didn't care whose camera they used or which film pack they used. As long as they documented the process, of opening up the package so everybody would be certain that there's no trickery involved. So we put in the cameras, started taking photos. We went through 10, eight packs. Each one's a 10-pack. It's 80 shots. About five of them have that ectoplasmic mist, looks like vines, almost that 3D effect that you guys were discussing earlier. Some of it's out of focus, some of it's in focus. And then two of them had writing, and it was in response to the same question.
With the writing, and it matched up to the original writing, has there ever been, and this comes from a question from one of our listeners popping up on my Facebook page, Francine wants to know, has there ever been any handwriting evaluation to see if it matches any of the homeowners?
I have not requested that. That's a fine question, and it's really legitimate. But the writing has also seemed to morph and change over the years. It got a little more sophisticated as time went on. Some of the angles seemed to change. The language changed. It went from Latin to Old English to Modern English, but the characteristics remain the same. So I like that question. It's one that I don't think anybody would be opposed to.
Right, and we've talked at some of the events that we've been at in the past about thought photography and the effect and implications of what we can impress upon film or our equipment that we use on an investigation. And it is interesting because if people write a certain way, if they're there present for this, if they're truly manipulating this without knowing it, it would be intriguing to see if their handwriting matches any of the known examples.
You know, I like that suggestion a lot, Dave. As a matter of fact, I propose that as a theory, that photography, you know, could be something that should be considered. At first, I don't think that there was a ready agreement that that's what it could be. The residents of the home said they felt like they were separate from whatever was occurring in the house, that this was somehow the home or something in the environment. However, after speaking to all of them and meeting them and getting to know them, I saw that there's real synergy between the residents and really positive people and really upbeat. The message is always, you know, two thumbs up. And I said, it's such a good vibe in this home. This would be likely contributing to this, if that's even a possibility. It seems like that's one you would have to factor in, is that the chemistry with the homeowners is very, very good. The messages are always very, very good. You know what, Dave? I mean, perhaps looking further at this, that maybe this is photography that's even incorporating some of the handwriting of the residents. It's a good idea to work from.
We've got about a minute left in this segment, but let me make a quick mention, Bill. As I understood from the owners, when you replicated that experiment in 2012, some of the people that were taunting or maybe being a little bit more disrespectful, they had a unique thing happen to their film that didn't happen to everybody else. Their film just kept whiting out. Is that correct?
Some of them are kind of blown out. Some of them, you know, they're just not usable. It's not many, though. I mean, most of them are just regular Polaroid images. If you're talking about the 2012 session that we did there over the course of that Halloween weekend, most of them are just, you know, straight Polaroids. Like, you know, 74 of them are just regular photos of everybody in the room. And then some of them, though, have that ectoplasmic mist connecting everybody. It seemed like it's the sort of like a vine weaving through the crowd. And then you had the ones with the writing.
We're going to take a break. We'll try to keep both of our guests on to answer your calls for the next segment. Go check out coasttocoastam.com for actual photographs to see the evidence for yourself. Stay tuned. More Coast to Coast AM right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the show, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. We are opening up phone lines, so we'd like to hear your questions for our guests this evening. We're talking with Joe Augustin, who's written a book. And Joe, you said the book has been uploaded, is available for a Kindle version now, which includes around 30 pictures from this case, plus some other real ghost stories that you've collected.
There are at least 36 pictures from the house, and there are also other photographs. I have a chapter on fake spirit photography, you know, back in the early days, and also thoughtography. So it's, you know, it's a pretty interesting book.
Great. And what's the name of the book so people can go look for it right now on Amazon?
There are a bunch of books called Ghostwriter. This one's called Ghostwriter, The Polaroid Ghost, and Other True Tales of the Paranormal.
And that's Ghostwriter, W-R-I-T-E-R, The Polaroid Ghost. So you can check that out. And again, we'll try to put up a link for that on Coast to Coast AM. Also joining us from the sci-fi hit TV series, Fact or Fake, The Paranormal Files, Bill Murphy is here, and we're going to take some calls in this segment. Bill, again, thank you for coming back and spending a little time with us.
It's always a pleasure, Dave.
Let's go to the wild card line. Number one, Jason in Spokane, Washington. Welcome to Coast to Coast. What's your question for our guests this evening?
Hey, I had this picture I took in 2012 in my basement, and basically there was this really odd-looking android kind of crazy thing. I don't even know what to call it. It's got a giant cone head on it. It looks like it has armor, a plasma gun, all kinds of weird-looking stuff. What's your take on this, man?
Well, geez, without seeing the picture specifically and being able to see if you're looking at some kind of matrixing effect, it would really be hard. I'd be happy to take a peek at it if you want to email it to me at dave@darknessradio.com, and I will forward it on to our guests so that they can take a peek and maybe weigh in and give you an email back on that. So, again, shoot me an email, dave@darknessradio.com, with a copy of the photograph, and we will try to get back to you. We'll post it maybe on Coast to Coast AM as well when we get that so we can let people know. Thank you for giving us a call, though, Jason. We appreciate you chiming in. You know, Bill, it is interesting. There, according to many different collectors around the world, there have been some strange photographs where they have actually photographed outside the window of their home or building, and they capture almost like a moment in time that it either has happened in the past or has yet to happen. Buildings that are not there or are no longer there and have not been there for years. These kind of strange veils in time that a camera is able to capture. Have you heard much about that? And maybe this could be part of what he's experiencing with his photograph.
Yes, I have, Dave. Matter of fact, you touched upon it before the break when you mentioned photography, because not to change the subject from Ghostwriter, but it's also a case involving Polaroids, and that's the Ted Serio's case. And instead of taking a picture of Ted, the subject, himself, standing there, when you point the camera at him and take a photo, it would be what he was thinking about, and sometimes there would be images from the past, and other times it'd be images from, for example, rocket launches that haven't even occurred yet, where you had a rocket that it was leaving Earth's atmosphere, and this was something that was still scheduled to happen. And so I have heard of that happening, of photos capturing moments in time that are not consistent with the present. And as we all know, only the present is real. The past and the future don't really exist except in memory or imagination. So how these things are happening, there's no clear explanation for.
Very strange. Let's go east of the Rockies. Carl from St. Augustine, Florida. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What did you want to talk to us about this evening?
I just wanted to share really quickly two ghost stories that I have. And then my entire life, I only have two. And if I had a camera, I'm sure because my eyes saw them, I would have photographed them. The first one was my father was stationed on Chichijima in the Pacific, and it's the same island that George Bush Sr. was shot down over in the Second World War. Two pilots were captured, and they were killed, and the commander of the island, the Japanese commander, had them killed, and they ate their livers. I mean, it was a pretty gross story, but the thing is when I was a kid, I went to my bedroom, go to bed, and all I saw was a hand with two fingers, and I thought about this all my life, and when I was a teenager, I thought it was like a peace sign, but then I figured it's like the victory sign, maybe one of those pilots. The other one was, I was at Canyon de Chelly in 1989. I stayed on the Indian reservation, and in the morning got up and went down to the canyon, and on my way down there, an Indian woman passed me, moving quickly, didn't even acknowledge that I was there. She looked like an Andean Indian. And she went right into the canyon. There's like an opening there, and there's nothing in that canyon but like a hogan, trees, and on the way to the hole where the old monuments are, she was gone when I got in there. But I mean, full-bodied woman just totally disappeared, and there was nowhere, and no way a human could just disappear like that in that canyon. It was pretty strange.
Very strange. Thank you very much for calling in and sharing your story with us, Carl. We appreciate hearing from you this evening. All right. Very strange stories, people sharing. If you have questions for our guest or you have your own encounters you'd like to share with us, the phone lines are open now. We'll be for the rest of the next 2.5 hours. We've got a lot more Coast to Coast to cover. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader. Joining us on the line, researcher, investigator, and writer Joe Augustin is here. Also joining us is Bill Murphy from Sci-Fi Channel TV show Fact or Fake, The Paranormal Files. Doing the research on this case, Joe, did you find any reason? Why is this house haunted? Is there a death associated with this property, something that would specifically be there to communicate with them?
The spirit identified itself on one of the Polaroids as Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And when they then went and investigated, they found out that a person named Wright actually did own the property, I think, in the late 1800s. Could be a little fuzzy on that, but I know there was a person that was there. And then later they found out John has a poster. He made a film early on, John Huckert, a short film called The Passing. And the poster for it has a picture of a baby. And when he was telling a friend of his who supplied that photo back in Maryland years before, the friend informed him that the baby's name was Wright. And the photo was taken shortly before the baby died in 1925. And the house that is on the property was built there around 1925. And was then revamped in 1954. So John Huckert thinks that it might be the baby's ghost, or it could be more likely the person who had the property before. Because the fact that the ghost speaks in Latin, if it was the ghost of a human being who actually lived on the property, it would have been probably a white male who had been to a private school when Latin was part of their curriculum, basically standard curriculum. And I also wanted to mention there were a couple of there were sightings of apparitions on the property. John Huckert one day was home and he saw a woman who was dressed in old-fashioned clothing come up to the door, and he was taken aback because she looked so strange, and he was waiting for her to knock, and she didn't, and he opened the door and she was gone. And one of the Polaroids has a picture that looks exactly like a woman in an old Victorian gown. And Peter James, the psychic, when he came to the house, he said there was a spirit named Amelia who was there. And they did research and found out that a woman named Amelia had lived in the house, I think, back in around the time of the Depression. And there was a neighbor who lived in the house above their property, a Cuban man who I met once, and he had a story about one day he was in his kitchen at night, and he looked out the kitchen window and saw a young woman who looked to be about 18 to 20 years old. And she looked like she was in distress. She was wearing a long nightgown, a long white nightgown, and she was walking up from their property onto his property. And she turned to walk behind his house, and he was sure that something had happened to her. She looked like maybe she'd been assaulted or something, and he ran outside to try to help her. And when he turned the corner, there was nobody there, and there was nowhere she could have gone, basically.
Bill, the case itself seems to continue to unfold. I mean, this has been going on for over 20 years, and it doesn't seem to have let up, even though, from my understanding, the family does not actively try to continue to photograph it. But you brought it back in 2012, and sure enough, as soon as you start engaging it, there it is. Has there ever been messages, one of our listeners here popping in the chat room wanted to know, Tara Scarlett says, has the ghostwriter ever given any warnings? And if so, did they ever come true, precognitive messages?
Tara, I like that question. It seems like the bulk of the messages, all the ones that I've looked at, and I've looked at, I kid you not, probably maybe 800 of these Polaroids, and they had several more boxes of them besides the ones that I went through. All the messages were very direct, matter of fact, or very positive. There was nothing about any dire warning of anything that was going to go wrong. I mean, some of the messages you could say may seem a bit macabre. For example, the question that we received writing Polaroids on two nights, one on Friday, one on Saturday, and the answer to the same question was a question, is someone buried under the house? And I know that may seem stereotypical, you know, ghost lore type of question, but that's just the impression that some visitors to the home have given the residents, that it could be that there's perhaps that area was a graveyard or used as a family plot. You know, it's unsure. We have found some stone markings that have arrows pointing to different areas of the land, but we've tried to excavate some of those areas. So whether it was used as a family plot, small cemetery, it's unknown for sure. But when we asked that question on Friday, we shot with the Polaroid, the picture jammed in the camera because the batteries are in the cartridge that the 10 Polaroids are in. And that's usually what fails first, is that the batteries become depleted. Not so much the emulsion breaks down, but that will over time if not stored properly. But, you know, just not enough electricity to trigger the photographic process and eject the film. So it jammed in there. We put that camera aside. The next night, we asked that question again, aimed the camera at pretty much the same area in the direction of the fireplace, and a Polaroid came out. And other people were actually looking at the plots as they developed, and it said, "Dig." So when we realized, well, that's weird. You know, this is the writing on it, and we started to compare it to the existing body of ghostwriting Polaroids, and that's when we noticed that the handwriting appeared to match. We went and recovered Friday night's camera, and we pried it open, and in there was a Polaroid stuck in there, and it said, "Here." So when we asked that question, is there a body buried under the house? It's here, and then dig. So that's about the darkest sort of response I think I've ever seen come out of it, if you want to consider that to be even dark at all. It's a pretty matter-of-fact answer.
We've got a phone call west of the Rockies, Art from Los Angeles. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM. What would you like to talk with us about?
I'm kind of surprised that people are so skeptical. There are countless haunted houses all around. The house we've lived in and the family before us for over 60 years, everyone's experienced ghosts. We've seen them. We've heard them. Visitors have also. And in conclusion, there's my niece took a picture, and it shows the ectoplasm, which, by the way, I've seen the book Seeing Things, and therefore I'm familiar with these photos. The picture that my niece took shows ectoplasm streaming through the air in patterns and then ends in my deceased sister's face. So she's simply using her ectoplasm to make writing. And if you consider that, I think that the Polaroid process is like 1/25th of a second when you push the shutter opening and closing, or 1/30th, whichever. That doesn't allow us humans enough time to write a long message. So obviously, whatever plane they're on, their time frame is longer by comparison to ours. Anyway, I'm a believer. I don't think they're faked in any way, shape, or form, and I'm surprised that people are still so skeptical.
Well, Art, you have to bear in mind as well, though, there are so many ways now to create fake imagery. As a matter of fact, one of the news services just released a story about these strange photographs that were taken in Europe, and this little girl keeps appearing, and the article never seems to question that the little girl is posing the same way in every photograph in two or three different locations. And had they done a little research, there's actually a phone application called Ghost Capture, and it's a phone application that you can use on any of the tablets or iPhones, things like that, where you can manipulate, take a photograph, and then drop and dump this ghost image in there. And you can actually manipulate the translucency or opaqueness of the ghost so that it can fade more into the background. It can be more prevalent. So with the advent of all of this different technology out there being made available, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't question the authenticity of most of this stuff first. And then once we can eliminate that there's no known fraud, then we start to examine, and it becomes a lot more interesting. as paranormal activity. And I don't know, where do you stand on something like that? You know, especially Bill, doing the show Fact or Faked, you guys were up against different claims every week, multiple claims that you really had to kind of take a look at. And even though you are a believer in the paranormal, it's still so easy to fool us and manipulate us. It must get maddening for you as an investigator.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hoaxing is unfortunately a part of the history of mankind going back, you know, many, many years, especially when it comes to fabricating evidence. So you have to employ critical thinking when you're looking at any sort of evidence. And a photograph is just a small window into an environment that has many of the factors that could influence the outcome of the image. So I don't really blame people that want to examine and question the evidence, but you know, as your the caller, you know, questioned the motivation of a diehard skeptic, and some people will defend a position to their very death. They will never retreat from saying this couldn't be real because it's too fantastic to be true. And to be honest with you, this case is so strong that I questioned it myself. I mean, I'm open-minded, but it's these are bold photographs that you rarely see anything like this. I have seen other Polaroids that have anomalous images in them, but not writing per se, just like we see in the Ghost Rider case. So I wanted to put it to the test just to sort of answer all those people that do question the authenticity, and I stand by the results. I bought the film. When we went back in, I gave it to other people. I removed myself from the process, yet we still got the ghostwriting. So this is the case that has stood the test, in my opinion.
Joe, if this is so replicatable, I mean, this is what science says it needs to be able to do, that it can go and do it time and time and time again and get these kind of results. Why do you believe science isn't taking a more hard-edged approach at looking at a case like this, which does seem to be very repeatable?
I think that the skeptics are exactly like Bill said, that most of the skeptics are people that just for personal reasons won't ever accept any evidence that's presented to them, and they don't want to be bothered with it. If you look at, like, James Randi, his books, he always throws in these old cases like the Cottingley theories, whatever, to try to start people off on the wrong foot, basically. They won't look at new places. And then I think people that, like, I know the two Johns would be really reluctant to have somebody like that come into their house because they would know that it would be pointless, basically, and the person would be disrespectful. They had a problem with another skeptic on a TV show. They were basically ambushed. When they went on, they weren't told that this person would be there, and the host was really nice to them before they went on, and then as soon as they started the cameras rolling, the host turned on them, and it was really kind of, they're not like, they're both pretty sensitive guys, I just think that skeptics, I think that they, psychologically, I think there are things in their past that have sort of molded them, and they just will never open up to it. They're basically the flat earth people. They would like to think that people that believe in this stuff are the flat earthers, but they're the ones who would refuse to accept the evolution that we're heading on towards.
Joe Augustin, the researcher, investigator, author. The book is called Ghost Rider, The Polaroid Ghost. It's up on Amazon.com. Special thanks to Joe for joining us this evening. Special thanks to Bill Murphy from Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake, The Paranormal Files. We're going to continue taking your calls for open phone lines for the next 2 hours. What evidence would you accept as real? We want to know your thoughts here on Coast to Coast AM.